Welcome to the Backend Engineering Show with your host, Hussein Nasser. This is the show where we discuss the art and the craft of building software and cover recent news on backend technologies. If you enjoy the show, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel and rate it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. With that said, let's get on the show. Envoy is an open source layer 7 proxy and communication bus originally built at Lyft to move their architecture away from a monolith into a microservices architecture. In this video, I want to discuss Envoy proxy. I want to talk about the components. I want to talk about the desired architecture that I want to reach on this course, on this video. I want to talk about the individual components of Envoy, and then finally I'm going to show you a demo of how Envoy actually functions. I'm going to show all sorts of cool stuff, guys, so stay tuned. And obviously, guys, you're going to start seeing some YouTube chapters where you can jump into the interesting part of the video. You don't have to watch the whole thing, but how about we jump into it, guys? So, guys, this is the current architecture that I have today. For example, I have multiple clients and I have a single application that is usually it's a monolith, right? It's running on certain port, it's running Node.js, and it's called Node, right? There's a database on the backend. What we used to do without a proxy, without a reverse proxy, without a load balancer, what we used to do is just to expose this to the public, right? So users will make a GET request and get back a JSON, right? And another user will do the same thing. So that's what we have today, right? But what if I want to spin up multiple versions of this, right? The problem with this is how do you expose these backend application to the client without exposing your internal architecture, right? So what do? It's like you spin it up on port 2222 and 333, and then you give your client these. You can. This is called client-side load balancer, but today we're going to discuss how Envoy can actually fix this, right? So one application of Envoy is to act as a reverse proxy. It can act as a proxy as well. It can act as a service mesh, which is basically a proxy and a reverse proxy at the same time. And this is what we're gonna do. We want to spin up multiple backend application, put Envoy on top. We have done so many similar things in this channel. We talked about, we did with Nginx, we did with HAProxy, we did with Traffic, right? And now we're gonna go to Envoy, and we're gonna do it with Linkerd, pretty much any proxy that exists. That's what we're gonna catch them all. That's the plan of this channel. I'm Ash Ketchum, apparently. So the client in this case will make a GET request to the Envoy proxy running on HTTPS 443, hopefully with H2, HTTP2. I noticed that Envoy doesn't run HTTP2 by default, so I'm gonna show you how to configure that, right? And we're gonna return back a JSON. I'm gonna get another request there. So this might hit this node and get back the result. So this will hit the Envoy and then hit a completely different node. So thus round robining or load balancing between the different backend. All right, so let's talk about Envoy architecture. And compared to Traffic and others, it's really in the between to me. HAProxy to me is the simplest to understand. Nginx is there. Traffic is the worst when it comes to concept and abstraction. And Envoy is lovely. I love these clear, there is a reason behind every abstraction there is, right? And to explain this, first of all, they talk about the downstream and upstream. They try to define what upstream means and what downstream means, which if I tell you that, you might have different opinions. But upstream is basically anything behind at the back end of Envoy. Downstream is actually anything below or in front of Envoy. So think of it this way, right? And I'm gonna show some examples there. Clusters is the back end, basically. So it's not just one host or one service running on certain port. It's actually a collection of hosts, right? And they group it into a cluster. So they call it a cluster. You give it a name and it has a bunch of stuff. and you set a load balancing policy on a cluster level. Listeners, I love this, by the way. We usually invent a new term for front end, but why just use the word listener? Yeah, listener is where you listen to a port, and guess what? It is the front end. So instead of just like HA proxy, we have a front end and a back end, right? We basically just use the word listener as your front end. So listener is there. And network filters, this is the abstraction that I actually don't like too much abstraction, but they just use the minimum number of abstraction, which is beautiful. So what maps listeners to clusters, which is what we want as engineers, right? Like, how can I connect this listener to this backend? Network filters, that's it. And they give you out of the box network filter called a TCP proxy for layer 4 proxying. They give you out of the box proxying filter called HTTP for HTTP proxying, obviously, TLS termination, all that stuff. So all these network filters. So there's a filter that you install, not really install, it's just, you can build your own filter, I guess, but you can just configure a new YAML. We're going to talk about threading model because this is a very interesting thing that there's a special choice in Envoy that I made. I have a little bit of a reservation. I'll leave the comments up to you guys to decide what's best or not, right? For everything that I discuss in this, you can have your own opinion formed, and basically that's how we discuss engineers. There's no right or wrong, to be honest, right? We just, yeah, this is what I think, right? And I think this is the pros and cons of everything. So threading model, so they are a single process multi-threaded application, right? It's not multi-processes. So we talked about this many times, right? Just check out the threading video right here and processes. Connection pools, that's another interesting thing that I actually expose and tell you about. I haven't found other proxies actually talking about their internal connection pool. That, by the way, guys, I didn't mention, documentation in Envoy is awesome. It is so beautifully done. It is so clear, and they walk you through one step by step. If you start somewhere in the documentation, you can actually understand the whole software by just reading through and clicking next. I love this. I couldn't find this with traffic. Traffic doc is atrocious, to be honest, right? So that's the problem with the traffic. So you guys, there is also one limitation in the Envoy documentation that I'm going to talk about, which is the lack of implementation detail. And that is very frustrating, right? So if I want to talk about Envoy, I'm ready to go and talk about Envoy. I understand how it works, I think, right? I might have missed a concept or two. But if I want to implement it, boy, I'm going to hit my head in the wall all the time. So it is very frustrating because you don't find examples, you don't find samples like HA proxy they give you, or Nginx, right? This is one file that have every possible configuration in it. They don't have that. Downstream and upstream, guys. Anything in front of Envoy is downstream. Anything behind Envoy is upstream, right? So that's basically the concept of downstream and upstream. So if they use this configuration, right? I don't see it in the config much, to be honest. But if you ever read somewhere about this, that's what it means, right? So let's spice things up. You can actually put Envoy as a sidecar. And we talked about sidecar here. Check out the video right here. So you can actually put multiple Envoys that talk to each other. Let's say this is a downstream client that is understand only HTTP 2, right? And HTTP 1, I'm sorry. And then the Envoy will have a listener on HTTP 1, right? And then we'll communicate to another Envoy instance that understand HTTP 2, right? On the, what was called, the cluster level. So there's another cluster that connects to that. Right, and then that Envoy cluster will talk to an H1, right? So you can do a protocol upgrade, essentially. So these are sidecars. You don't have to be sidecars, to be honest. They can just be their own thing. But this is one implementation. So in this case, this Envoy instance is both downstream to this and upstream to that, right? Downstream to this, upstream to this. So think of it, request coming from a downstream, right? Responses comes from upstream. That's how I think about it. And I like this terminology, to be honest. I love it. Some people get confused and say, okay, downstream maybe, or this is coming downstream from the backend. Nah, I see where you're going with it, but let me know in the comment section below if you're actually confused about these terminologies. Clusters. So we talked about these Node applications and backend and Python apps, right? So if you spin it up, you have to give me the address, you have to give me the port that is listening to, and that's how I identify you as a host, right? Running the application. However, you can group different hosts, or they call it also endpoints, into one cluster and give it a name. So for example, I'm going to show this in an example and demo where you can group these puppies into a cluster called app one and these puppies into a cluster called app two, right? Pretty neat-ish, isn't it? So group of hosts, grab endpoint are called a cluster. Cluster has a load balancing policy. So this is, I guess it's the same, right? It's the same as other proxies like HAProxy and Nginx. So the load balancing policy is set as the cluster level. So you can set like least connected load balancing mode right here so that it balances between the two puppies in a round robin fashion. We're going to see that this is actually not true in case of Envoy. You're not going to see true load balancing because of the threading model we're going to come up with. I actually created an issue in the Envoy repo and the author of Envoy replied back, Matt Klein. He replied back and said, okay, this is by design. Check this documentation. Which I agree with, but some people might not like that. So yeah, cluster app one. So this is basically a cluster. Listeners is the idea of listening for downstream clients, right? Listen to a port on Envoy, and then you pretty much everything is in the listener, I find out. Everything. Pretty much everything, right? Similar to front-end in HAProxy, right? We talked about that. And then you apply network filters to listeners so that you map them to clusters, right? And there is a TCP, HTTP filters. There is a transport socket. It's called TLS. If you want to enable TLS, you apply it to the listener, which makes sense, right? You listen to a port, you listen to an address, and you apply TLS configuration to that listener. So, and I found, I have a trouble with YAML in general, but this hierarchy of things is just weird. And when it comes to YAML, but maybe if you like YAML, you don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with YAML in general, with these tabs and spaces. I hate it. I hope there's something that I don't know why people are adopting this thing, to be honest. It's just so confusing. All right, so network filters, we talked about that a little bit. It maps listeners to clusters. So if I'm listening on Envoy on port 8080, I want any request or any TCP connection, if you're talking about TCP level proxying, to map to this particular cluster or this particular even host, if you want to. And there are not many type of TCP proxying filters. I mean, there's a TCP proxy filter. This is the strings. And this is another thing I didn't really like. You have to memorize all that stuff, the strings. But I understand why it exists, right? This is to basically create some sort of a mapping in case if you want to create your own filter and just put it in the configuration, right? So it's built to be extensible, right? So we know if something is built to be extensible, it's so developer friendly, not much user friendly. And when I say user, I'm talking about engineer who is about to deploy. He or she doesn't really code and build filters. And most users actually don't build filters for the, they're basically gonna use your existing filters. So these are ugly, but we're stuck with them. And people have built their own network filters. They built a MongoDB filter for Envoy. You can build MySQL filter. There's a gRPC network filter. And that said, this is the idea of abstraction of a network filter is a beautiful. I love it a lot. I love it because you can just add any filter and then just map listeners to clusters in a specific way, assuming you know what you're doing. Connection pools, my favorite part. So each host in a cluster gets one or more connection pools. And a connection pool, I talk about connection pooling within the database concept, but it's actually can be applied everywhere, right? A connection pool is a preheated, usually TCP connection or UDP quick connection that is available for users or clients to consume, right? So you would essentially, a connection pool must have like one connection at least in it and more, right? And this, the idea of connection pool is to abstract what is inside it, right? So you can give it a thread and say, okay, here's a connection pool, send your request to that connection pool. However, each connection pool actually, it is per protocol. So you cannot, for example, have a connection pool that has one TCP connection that is serving HTTP 1.1, right? Another TCP connection serving HTTP 2 or 3, right? It will be very confusing for the thread because the thread will assume that this connection pool is HTTP 1 pool, right? So it will send a request in a specific headers and will have their, it have different format compared to HTTP 2 where it has streams and stuff, right? Multiplexing. So it's a completely different protocol, right? You can have a connection pool that serves WebSockets, right? That's a different thing. I guess WebSockets are upgraded from HTTP 1, so maybe they can be reused, but I'm not sure about that. I didn't go that far in research. More pools allocated are per priority or socket option. So there's a default and a high priority pool. So if you have like a default pool, you get a connection pool, but if you specify a high connection pool, then you get two essentially, default and high. So it's per priority, right? So if you want a high priority, like a specific dedicated connection pool, you gotta get a completely different connection pool. These are not shared. And connection pools are per worker thread. I'm going to show that an example of that, right? Each worker thread, because Envoy is multi-threaded, each worker thread is dedicated for a given connection pool, and that's it, right? So if you have one thread on your Envoy, then you get one connection pool per everything, right? So if you have like two protocols, you get two connection pools, right? And then for each connection pool, you assign it to a thread, right? We're going to show an example how that works. Here's an example of how it works. This is a one worker thread Envoy, okay? And we have a cluster with two hosts. One host that supports HTTP 2 and running on port 443, for simplicity, just 443, because that will just complicate things. And another host that is running on port 80, so it's unsecure. Insecure or unsecure? How do you say it? Insecure HTTP 1.1 protocol, right? So this is just that. So what do you get is you're going to get two connection pools per protocol, right? So one connection pool for this host for this protocol and one connection pool for this host for the H2 protocol. So you get HTTP 2 pool, HTTP 1.1 pool. And for HTTP 1.1, you get one or more TCP connection because we know how, this is just a configuration thing, right? We know how HTTP 2 or HTTP 1 work, right? And I talk about HTTP if you want to know, if you're lost and all that stuff, guys, check out the HTTP video and check out the HTTP 2 video as well, where I talk about in details what are all that stuff, right? So in a nutshell, a single TCP connection HTTP 1.1 can only serve one request concurrently. Yes, you might say, oh, pipelining, Hussein. Envoy doesn't use pipelining, and I think nobody likes to use pipelining because it's just confusing. So let's assume one request concurrently in a given TCP connection, which is wasteful, right? HTTP 2 solved this with multiplexing. That's why we need multiple TCP connections for HTTP 1.1 to send two requests in parallel, right? So that's it. So this is assigned to this thread, and this is also assigned to this thread. So each thread gets one pool per host, right? And this is essentially the other host. So Envoy have a threaded, multi-threaded model. So it's a single process. When you run process Envoy, you get one process only. And it's a multi-threaded. And each thread is bound to a single connection, right? As we explained. And there are no coordination between threads at all, right? So each thread is bound to a single connection in execution, right? Once that is execution is done, we basically release that connection back to the pool, right? It's just one thing per thing, right? That's the idea. And no, there are no coordination between threads. And that means that threads do not know what other threads are doing. So there is no master or leader worker thread that coordinates the stuff, right? That's why when we do load balancing round robin, we cannot do true round robin load balancing between hosts. Because guess what? If I'm going to send a request, thread A might pick it up, right, which assigned to host A, right, host one, and then another request can be picked up also by the same thread, but also another thread, but also going to the same host. So we are kind of load balancing the threads, but not load balancing the host. And the reason is because there is no coordination between threads. We don't have no idea how to spread this stuff. And here's an example. If I have two worker thread, for example, in this case, each thread will get a pool, right? So in this case, this thread will get the dedicated pool for HTTP 1.1, and also the other thread will get another pool for HTTP 1.1 for host A, and the second thread will get, for each host, will get the HTTP 2 pool, and then the second thread will get the HTTP 2 pool for that, right? So we get four connection pools, right? And yeah, and you can notice that HTTP2, technically it's enough to have one TCP connection pair pool, because it's a theoretical thing, because unless you don't hit the maximum streams in a single HTTP2 connection, right? So you're good. So you can send as many requests as you want in parallel. All right, so that's the idea of, so that's why TCP connection, single TCP connection is more than enough for HTTP2, right? And Envoy recommends using HTTP2 on the backend all the time. I think it by default uses it if the backend supports it. That's why putting another Envoy sidecar guarantees that you're gonna use always HTTP2 between the kind of these two endpoints. Let's jump to the favorite part, where we're gonna showcase this beautiful tech. We're gonna show a beautiful tech. We're gonna be awesome. It's gonna be beautiful. All right. So the first thing we're gonna do here is we're gonna test the four services that I'm gonna talk about, right? So there's four services running on my Mac right now. 1.1.1.1.2.2.2.2.3.3.3.3.4.4.4.4. That's it, right? And I'm gonna then install Envoy. And then we're gonna layer 7 proxy and do some layer 7 proxying. That means we want to first proxy to the 4 backend in a round robin fashion. And we're gonna show how that doesn't clearly work until we set the threading to 1. So I can actually show that concept that we just talked about, the threading problem, right, with this, right? And then we're gonna do conditional proxying by going to slash app 1, we'll go to certain cluster. If I go to slash app 2, we'll go to another cluster, right? Then we're gonna prevent admin access. This is stuff we have done for every single proxy, right? And I just measure how easy it is to do on Envoy. So we're gonna show how to do direct response here. It was painful to find, oh my God. Example, to do an admin block. Oh my God, that was so difficult to find an example that does that. The doc clearly said, here's a direct response, but it gives you a stupid proto file that how do I do a YAML configuration? So that was a little bit frustrating, but I found an example. Someone actually posted something in a GitHub. Layer 4 proxying, we're gonna do that. We showed this a long time, right? Just pure layer 4 proxying. So if you wanna do like WebSockets or something like that, you can do that without terminating, without looking at the content. Enable HTTPS, we're gonna enable HTTPS, we're gonna do Let's Encrypt for that. We're gonna install the certbot. I have the certbot, so I'm not gonna show you that. We're gonna generate a private key, public key, certificate, full chain, and then install it, add it to Envoy configuration, show you how to do that. And then we're gonna enable HTTP2 because Envoy does not support HTTP2 by default, which is weird. I don't know why they would just not support that by default. All right. But yeah, we can do that. And then we're going to do a little bit of an SSL labs and show the grade our application gets, right, which is I think B or something, or maybe less than that. And then we're going to disable TLS 1.0, 1.1, because those things are dead, right? And then Voigt is showing you how to do that. I'm going to do another SSL Labs test, show you that this is a great grid, right? Because SSL 101 and 101 are bad. You should not use them at all. Browsers are stopping the support for that. Let's just jump into the beautiful work. All right, guys, I have Visual Studio Code here. I'm going to open a brand new project where all the configuration, all the work that I do will be available here. So I'm going to call it Envoy, and I'm going to push this to GitHub so you can see all this configuration, right? But before we do that, how about we go to Chrome and show you the four services I talked about, right? So the same Mac, 1111, this is the app. This is very simple. It's listening to a port 1111 and also tells me when I hit it, which app ID it is. And it's basically the back to the port itself. This way I know which app I hit. This way if I hit Envoy, I know which app is getting hit, which backend is getting hit. And you can see there's 2222, exactly the same thing. 3333, exactly the same thing. 4444. So four services are running on my service. And there is a slash app one, which says app one says hello. And there's a slash app two, which is exactly the same. Just says app two, say hello. And there's a page called admin, which says admin page, very few people should see this. That's my application in a nutshell, right? So what I wanna do is, let's go install Envoy and let's load balance those stuff, right? Go back to this, I have Envoy. Let's go ahead and install Envoy. So open the new terminal, and here's what we do to install Envoy. I'm gonna install Envoy on my Mac. Follow the instructions to install Envoy on your Windows if you wanna do it in Docker. I don't like to use Docker specifically because the example out there just give you a compose file that just hides all the beauty things from you, right? But I like to get my hands dirty and install the software myself. I configure the software myself, feed it configuration so I can switch easily, right? With Docker, yeah, you can obviously use Docker in production. There's no problem with that. But to understand it better, I like to install it on bare metal, right? Plus, if you change configuration with Docker, it's so hard, right? How do you do that? You SSH into the container, yuck, right? So the first thing we're gonna do is do brew. I'm gonna use homebrew, obviously. Brew tab, /get/envoy. So this is how we essentially tap into Envoy. And once we do that, we're gonna update the homebrew. This will actually add the Envoy formula, right? So the next thing we're gonna do is brew install Envoy. Very, very simple. This is actually installs the latest and greatest Envoy, right? And if I want to install the nightly version, I would just add --nightly, but I don't really care about that. So I have Envoy running, guys. That's it. Just like that, I have Envoy running. Next thing we're gonna do, I am going to do a configuration here, right? So that's the way we're gonna do. So we want to do a layer 7 proxying. That's the first thing we're gonna do, right? Layer 7 proxying. So let's call it http.yaml, right? And to do layer 7 proxying, the simplest thing to just flip between all these puppies, one after the other, I am going to basically listen to a port. And then once I listen to a port, I will create a filter and then start basically mapping to the backend, which are these four backends that I talked about. Hopefully I nail the YAML because I am so bad at this, right? So the first thing we're gonna do is do a static resources, right? And then space listeners, that we talked about listeners, right? And then what address are we listening on? --address. Then we're gonna do socket address. The address is, I'm gonna listen to all ports, basically, or this is the wildcard IP address, basically. So listen to all interfaces, right? And the port value is 8080 because it's famous, right? The next thing we're gonna do is assign some filter chains at the address level. So we need to really nail this right, guys. Especially these, I hate this shoot. Man, so just how to nail this, whether something is It's just by eyesight, which is weird. That's why I like JSON. JSON is just structured. This way it's just using your eye, which I have bad eyesight. So we'll add a bunch of filters and we're gonna give it a beautiful name. What name is gonna this is gonna be? It's gonna be envoy.filters.network.http connection manager, right? Because that's the HTTP filter that we talked about, right? And then the next thing we're gonna do is we need typed underscore config, right? This is just to essentially specify which exact type we're pulling from, right? I don't know why we can't derive this from here, to be honest, right? So type.googleapis.com/envoy.config.filter.network.http connection_manager.v2v2 HTTP connection manager. So this is, think of it like as the class that we want to. And then we do stat underscore prefix. This is just to give it a name, right? So I'm going to call it HTTP proxy, right? You see, there is a lot of configurations that we need to do, right? To get this right, right? Route config, one of the most important thing, obviously. What is the route config? I'm going to name my route, right? Because you're routing the listener to the backend. And they don't mention this route config much, right? And then documentation, but it's just part of the config, I guess, right? So I gotta call it ABC, anything you want, right? Or let's call it all. Nice. The virtual hosts, the ID of the clusters, right? Which is your backend clusters here? They give it a name, backend cluster. I'm gonna call it, let's call it all backend, right? Cluster. And then, boop, domains. Here is where we basically filter what domains you want to match on. And I don't have any domains here right now, so I'll just like do star, right? Then do routes. We're going to write this once, and then once we write it, we'll be set, guys, essentially. Routes, right? So now this is matching. What are we matching exactly? Basically, I want to match pretty much anything, right? I want to match anything that comes here with a prefix of slash, right? Anything that comes to me, immediately go and route it to this cluster. Cluster, what cluster? I want to route it to the cluster called all backend. Some spaces. I told you, man, that the spaces are just terrible. The final thing we need to do is some HTTP filters. This is to tell the app that, hey, I'm using HTTP. And here's the filters that to use for envoy.filters.http.router. Okay. And let's build the clusters. So this was just me mapping to all backend cluster, but the all backend cluster doesn't exist, right? So how about we actually build the all backend clusters? An all backend cluster is a property of not the listener, it's property of the static resources. So clusters. What clusters do we have? What clusters do we have? Dash name, I'm gonna all backend cluster. And then you start putting some configuration. Connect. Timeout. What kind of timeout do we have? Well, I want, if you could not connect to this cluster in 1 second, you did basically, right? And here's the type, strict DNS. I'm gonna explain this later. And then here's my favorite part, the load balancing policy, right? So load balancing policy, I'm gonna use round robin between the host clusters, which I didn't define yet. I wanna use round robin to balance them. Okay, so next thing, I'm going to assign the load assignment. What kind of load assignment? You guys, do you think I'm going to nail it from the first time? I really doubt it, but we'll see. All right, cluster name, backend. We're going to call it the cluster name is actually cluster name, all backend cluster. And then we define the endpoints, which is the what we're listening to. LB endpoints.
right? Load balancer endpoint. The endpoint is on this address, socket address, and then address is Hussein Mac. Finally, we're gonna define this stuff. And then the port value is what? The first port, which is 1111, because this is, we start defining all the endpoints one by one. So now, copy and paste game. One endpoint, 1111. What's the rest of the stuff? Another endpoint. Jeez, man, I hate. There's no extension that I installed in YAML that actually helped with this. Look at all this shit. Jesus. I hate this so much, right? So look at this. Look at this mess. How do you guys deal with YAML? People who deal with YAML on a daily basis, I feel sorry for you. Thank God I don't have to worry about YAML on a daily basis. But yeah, all right, just look at this. Look at this. Kubernetes using YAML. I mean, if you do some bad config, like add a bad space, what? How? And do it on a Friday, 5 p.m. Sheesh. All right, so this will be 4 endpoints, right? This is my old backend cluster. To be honest, I don't know why do we have multiple ones, right? Because why do we have like a name here and name here? I have no idea, to be honest, right? Maybe this is the assignment name. I just named the same, right, to be not confusing, but it's just like the cluster name is all backend cluster. That's what we care about here, right? And I think we are ready, guys. Hopefully we didn't do some problems, but let's go through this again. Status results, we gotta have a listener, right? One listener and clusters, right? And the listener, we're listening on port 8080. So let's remember to visit 8080. Let's not forget that. We have a filter chain, filters, name. Hopefully I nail those names. Otherwise we're gonna get, there's a thing. As I was testing Envoy, it actually gives me good error messages. It tells me, hey, this is wrong. This doesn't start and then fail later. Lazy approach. It was eagerly telling me something is wrong, which is something I liked. All right, so how about we actually start this thing? I am here in Envoy. There is an http.yaml. All right, guys, let's start out in Envoy. Envoy, and then you specify which file you want to load. Dash dash config dash path space http.yaml. And then later we're going to add some concurrency, but now it's going to do the default threading. I think multi-threaded by default, right? And we're getting some errors. Let's see. Okay, so we're getting some errors. The errors is everything is info until here, critical. Error initialization http.yaml protocol has unknown fields. What part is unknown field? Clusters. All right, guys, I think I found it. See? This is what I freaking hate. There's another space here because address is it's a property of Envoy, but you have to remember to add a stupid tab or space. All right, let's fix all of them. All right, guys, have you noticed this? This is the problem. This is under endpoint, so you have to push it a little bit so it's straight up to this. What a yucky file type. I don't know why people love this stuff. I have no clue. You tell me, man. Unless I'm doing something wrong, guys. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm a dummy, all right? I don't know. Let's try this again. All right, let's run Envoy again. Boom, boom. Pray. Oh, another error. I'm going to leave this stuff, by the way, guys, so you can see the pain of YAML. See the pain. See the pain of YAML. So every engineer out there, if you think YAML is easy, tell me how to do this better, because I have no idea. Critical, what is this? Initialize, it says configuration, listeners cannot find field. So it's complaining that the listener has a field that Jesus, I misspelled listeners. Listener. Is that right? Okay, I misspelled listeners. Okay, I think this video is done. All right, what else now? Okay, I misspelled listeners, but now you're saying what? Filter chained. All right,
fix some more stuff, some more spaces, just stupid spaces, nothing fancy.
All right, guys, after fixing some few spaces and making sure everything is right, we finally did it. We are running. Envoy is running on port 8080. How about we test this thing? Open Chrome, open this, Hossein Mac. Now we have 8080, flash. Ooh, nice. We went to 2222. Refresh, 4444, 111, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're just getting lucky a little bit here with the configuration because it's a layer 7 proxying, right? With TCP proxying, you'll see that this is not always the case. With layer 4, with layer 7 proxying, we know. So we did it, guys, we did it. So, man, you saw how painful the YAML is, at least for me. I mean, you're going to copy and paste configuration. That might not be as bad as an idea, guys, but I don't know, man. I think it's a little bit complicated to me. So if I go slash app one, I still go load balance all this stuff. App two, load balance all this beautiful stuff. That's nice. Admin. All right. So what are we doing next? All right, guys. So now here's what I'm going to do. I am going to, if I go to app one, I want Envoy to proxy to the app one and app two, right? Which is 1111 and 22222. And if I go to app two, I want it to proxy between 3 and 4. So how do I do that? Let's go to this HTTPM. Let's kill this. And I'm gonna copy this for you guys. So you can, I'm gonna call this all backend, right? And then I'm gonna copy and paste and gonna call this app one, app two split, all right? So we can just keep track of every work that we did basically. And then we're gonna push everything to GitHub so you can get this done. So what do I need to do? I still need the all backend cluster, right? But what I need to do is create a different route essentially, right? So I'm gonna copy this thing. Let's keep this. All right, guys, so what we need to do is, these are the routes, right? So we're gonna create a new route. This route, when you go to slash, always go to all backend. So let's proxy to all backend. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 1, 1, 2, 2, 2, 3, 3, 4, 4, 4. However, if I copy and paste this puppy, and I say, if you're going to app one, if the prefix going to app one, let's go to app one cluster, all right? And if you're going to app two, then go to app two cluster. So now the question is, what is app one and app two clusters, right? Let's build them, right? So this is one cluster called all backend. Guess what? I'm gonna copy the whole puppy. Oh, hopefully I nailed stupid YAML this time. All right, so this is my God, this is so painful. I'd rather do this in Vim. Probably not. All right, so this guy, you are almost there. Yes, okay. So we're gonna call this app one cluster, right? Why are you yelling at me now? What is the error again? Oh, it's not really, is it? Is it straight to this? Yeah. Okay, you, sir, be here, and you should be here, right? Or doesn't matter. Yeah, of course, yeah. The name and all that stuff should become like that. All right, so just almost there. All right, app one cluster. So app one cluster, guys, is just 1, 1, and 2, 2. So we kill those parpies, kill them. And then we copy. My God, we're just praying now. Nothing breaks. Oh, what? All right. We nailed it, guys. App two cluster. Round robin. 3, 3, 3, 4, 4, 4, 4. What is going on? I actually nailed it from the first time. Wowzy. Guys, if I don't have to walk in YAML on my life, I'll be a happy man. All right. So now what do we do? What do we do, my friends? We do envoy dash dash config path, not HTTP. It's called app one, app two split.yaml. Ooh, are you guys ready? Do we get yelled at? No, we did not get yelled at. It's just a warning because of the limit of the number of connections. No problemino. Go back and let's test this thing. Now, if I go to app 1, 2, 3, 4, oh, what? This is not working, man. This is not working. All right. I might know why. Why? Because I think the first route is winning. My God, the first route is winning. This is a route that basically evaluate to everything. What if I do this? I flip this rule, I add it at the end. Let's do this. And then kill, run again. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, so now this seems to be working. 1-1 and 2-2. App 2, 3-3 and 4-4. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We're load balancing, very nice. Slash. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, nice. Okay, so it was a priority thing. This is, it beats me. I didn't do this before, I guess. So yeah, so this is winning. This is winning. If nobody matches, then this wins, all right? So if I do slash admin, I believe the last one wins. Good, awesome. Which is all backends, right? You can see it, guys. All right, we have done the all backend. This is the app 1, app 2 split. What a fantastic thing to do so far. All right, what do we have next, my friends? What do we have next? We have the blocking of certain requests, right? So let's do this, copy this, and then I'm gonna call this slash block admin, right? And then how do we block admin? We're gonna use the response object here, guys, to do this thing. To do the blocking of the admin, now you can see that things are getting easier once we figure out the actual configuration, right? I didn't want to copy and paste, just like because I wanted to show you the pain, right? And I am here just to take your pain, guys. Feel your pain. That's what I'm here for. All right. So the first thing we're going to do is I'm going to add it at the first. And this is easy because we don't really need a backend to block admin. So all we do is like anything slash admin, we don't map it to a cluster. We do a direct response, and then the response will be literally status 403, which is forbidden, right? And we can also add some body if you want to, right? Like do an inline string, say forbidden, yo, something like that. You get the idea, right? I don't think we need that. This is a config. And yeah, will this work? Beats me. Now we can call it block admin. We're gonna load the config, guys. All right, let's clear this. We're gonna load the config that's called block admin. I'm gonna zoom in so you can see. You guys complain about this a lot. All right. Ooh, worked. Now refresh. Forbidden, yo. And what did we get? Did we get the correct code, whatever it's called? 403. Yas, queen. Look at this. Headers. Forbidden, babes. Right? Forbidden. App 1 still works. Ooh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So that's admin. That's blocking admin. We move to TCP proxy, dun, dun, dun. TCP.yaml. All right, guys. All right. So I'm going to cheat, obviously. I'm going to copy and paste. Boop. Boop. But it's so easy, guys. It's way easier. TCP proxying is way easier, at least from what I remember. So it's all good. We're not going to call it the listener. We're not going to call it. By the way, you can give the listener a name. I forgot about that, but we don't have to. The filter will be network.tcp proxy. Awesome. And then the type config, all this garbage. What do we do? Envoy.config.filter.network.tcp proxy.v2, because v1 sucked, TCP proxy. Right, then no, we're gonna call it HTTP proxy, we're gonna call it TCP proxy, and then yeah, just call it all backend. We're gonna filter all backend. But let's see if this, all this stuff, guys, by the way, is not applicable anymore, right? We don't do matching because you don't have access to the content. Well, you do, like SNI and stuff like that. So stuff that is unencrypted, but you can't possibly do slashes and all that stuff. So all you do is so simple. No of this virtual host bullshit, nothing. All you do is basically on the stat prefix, you do no routing, nothing. Just blech, just go there. We don't even need HTTP filters because why filtering, right? And the old backend, and the backend should be the same, right? Because we just still need load balancer. We don't need, still need struct DNS. We still need all that stuff, right? And this will basically, any request will go to always this backend, right? And let's try this thing. TCP. I have a feeling that I was gonna fail. Oh, works, my friends. All right, so now going to 8888, you're gonna start seeing the uncoordination between the threads. Let's show that. So now, if I refresh, bum, 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 look at this. This is, now the browser is out of touch when it comes to TCP proxying. Why? Because the browser, especially with HTTP 1.1, spins up multiple TCP connection. And when I do a refresh, I send a GET request to one of those, but I have no control over which ones. So the browser can use the same TCP connection and send the same request to it, like in this case, right? So it's 2222. So we're hitting the same TCP connection, which always funnels to the same backend host. That's TCP proxying. It's sticky by nature, right? We can't. It's a stateful thing. We have to always forward it to the same backend, right? So, and if you were lucky, if you refresh and you might hit, the browser decides to, okay, let's hit another TCP connection, sure. But to demonstrate this accurately, we're gonna use curl. We're gonna use curl. Curl, HTTP, Hussein Mac, 8080. Boom, 4444. Boom, 4444. Boom, 1111. You can see that it's not load balancing, but this creates a new TCP connection with every request. So we know we're assigning a new TCP connection, but Envoy is not properly load balancing those puppies. Why? And this is the issue I created for the Envoy repo. And the author just told me, hey, by the way, this is a known issue. We know about this. This is because we have no idea which thread actually executed what request. There is no knowledge, right, that is stored somewhere. That's for performance reasons. And the reason is all threads act by themselves, right? They are independent. So they don't know, say, hey, by the way, I just touched this host. Let me go to another host. They don't have this knowledge. It's just they are balancing the threads correctly. But you might hit, in this case, for example, we hit thread one, and this gets might hit thread two, but thread two also hits the same host, which is 4444, right? So in this case, we hit maybe three threads. All of them are just basically the same host. We just got unlucky. So how do we solve this? Or I guess not solve it. How do you actually mitigate that so we know we're hitting it accurately, right? We run Envoy as a single threaded app, which is obviously not a good idea, but just to show you the idea. So you do dash dash concurrency equal one, I think equal one. Oh, it's not one, just concurrency one. That means it will start Envoy with one thread. And we have one thread, we're always gonna send it to the same thread, and that thread is properly load balancing. So let's go back to curl, and then do 2222, 3333, 4444. Now this, see, that's now it's properly load balanced because every TCP connection that curl creates will end up in a new host, right? So now it's beautifully, beautifully, beautifully load balanced, which I absolutely adore. J'adore TCP proxying. Alrighty, guys, alrighty. So let's jump and do some more
fancy stuff. We're gonna secure the stuff. We're gonna create a DNS record, right? We're gonna create a DNS record. First of all, this is the app. The final version is this. I'm gonna call it http.yaml, right? This has all the HTTP. I'm gonna use HTTP for now, right? All right, guys, so now I'm gonna listen on port 80 for Envoy, okay? The reason is because I want to do a port forwarding on my router so that all requests goes to the DNS entry that I'm gonna create goes to Envoy, right? So let's just start this up with HTTP.yaml. I don't know if I'm gonna run as, I don't need to run as admin. Okay, so this is port 80. Let's test this out, guys. I'm gonna go to noip.com. We have an active one. I'm gonna destroy this puppy. Why do I have to destroy? Why can't I use it the same one? So I'm gonna use envoy testing.dns.net. Let's create another one. Let's create another one better. I'm gonna call it envoy demo.dns.net. So I'm gonna, this entry in a record points to this IP address, which is my app. So now if I go to DNS, that was actually pretty fast. So now I have it. But this is unsecure, guys. So this is unsecure, right? So how do I essentially secure that thing? So what we're gonna do is enable Let's Encrypt, right? By doing that, how do we do that? We're gonna create a private and a public key. And let's kill Envoy first. We're gonna use CertBot to create a private and public certificate. Assign Envoy those certificate and then start up again as a on port 443 so that we can essentially test this software. All right, so and enable the HTTPS on the proxy. Let us do this. All right, so to do this, we do sudo certbot --standalone. So it's certbot cert only --standalone. And by doing that, we're gonna start basically CertBot, which is the Let's Encrypt daemon, right? Which will communicate with Let's Encrypt to generate those for us. But let's just run it as root. We have to run it as root because we are essentially writing stuff to the disk. And we are also listening on port 80, the CertBot listening on port 80 and communicating with Let's Encrypt to prove that I own this domain. So if I do this, the first thing, okay, give me the domain, paste, envoy domain.dns.net. So now what they will do is they will listen, they will send, they will basically prove that I own this domain, which I do, right? And then that's it. I have the private key and I have the full chain. All I have to do is basically copy this thing to my current cert.pm, right? Sudo, because it's... because it's in a protected directory. So do sudo, sure. And then I'm gonna also copy the private.pm to private. Is it called private? I forgot. No, priv. Let's do the same. It's called privkey.pm as private.pm. I like to call it private, just for sham pleasure day. All right. Copy this puppy. Now we have it both. Now we have to do the search mode to identify what can we do with this private key. We're gonna do 755. That means the user can execute write me as an owner. I can execute and write and what is the third thing? Read, right? And the group sender can only read and execute, right? And then private.pm. You have to do this, otherwise it won't work. What is it? Oh. Obviously cannot do because we have to do sudo. All right, done. Now we have the files. Let's copy this puppy and gonna call it tls.yaml. All right, and this time I'm gonna listen on port 443 or tls.yaml. All right, guys, so under filters chain right here, we're gonna add filters chain. Let's make it yours under filters chain because that's the trick here. filters chain under here, filters, right by filters. We're gonna add a new one called a transport socket, which is for TLS, right? Give it a name, name envoy.transportsockets.tls. That's just another filter, right? And then we're gonna call typed config. Hopefully I nailed this right this time. And then we're gonna call it add type. This is the type, actual type behind the type, .google.apis.com/invoy.extensions.transport_sockets.tls.v3.downstream. We have spelled that right. TLS contacts. And now the most important thing. Common TLS context. Awesome. Under that, the common TLS context, which is the configuration, TLS, TLS underscore certificates. That's what the more important thing. And then what we're gonna do is do the certificate underscore chain, which is the chain. I wish I just called it chain. File name is what? The cert.pm, right? That's what we called it. Cert.pm. By the way, this will not be pushed to you guys because I add them to my ignore file. And then we do private underscore key, file name underscore, file name is what? Private.pm. And if we don't do the switch mode and changing the mode on the file, what's his name? This guy won't be able to read the thingy. The file. Envoy won't be able to read it. And I think that's it, guys. The rest of the stuff we're gonna add it later, right? But let's see if we have HTTPS. Now, let's call it TLS. That's what we call it, right? TLS.yaml. Boom! We have an error. What is the error? Let's fix it. Oh, we have an error in the file. Why? Why are you complaining? Filters. Oh my god. It's under filters. Okay. Ugh. Guys, I don't know, guys, how people do it. Kudos to everyone who knows YAML and know how to deal with this stuff, because I don't know, guys, how to deal with this stuff anymore. All right, this is just an indecision. Apparently, transport socket is under filters, not a filter chain. So this just taps. Even in Python, I despise this stuff. Taps and spaces. Nobody should use taps and spaces for coding. Right, to determine the correction of the coding. All right, let's see. Okay, HTTP is not working, but HTTPS, right? Because I don't have an HTTP endpoint, right? Ooh, secure, babe. Secure. And it's beautiful. Now if I go envoy demo, it's just like doing its own thing, right? So now if I go SSL labs, all right. Oh, I want to do this for me, please. Analyze my envoy demo.dns. So guy, I might have not explained it. SSL lab actually just tries every possible way to communicate with your server and tests every single thing securely on your server to see how and give it a grade, essentially based on the kind of cipher it supports, based on test attacks. And we get a stinking B. Why? Because, yeah, our server does support TLS 1.3, but it also supports 1.0 and 1.1. And before we get to that and get it a good rate, look at this, guys. If I go to developer tools and I refresh, HTTP 1.1. What year is this? HTTP 1.1? Seriously? Why is not that the default HTTP 2? I get it, guys, obviously I'm joking. HTTP 2, it's a good protocol, but it can actually increase your CPU usage and people are still figuring it out. So HTTP, there's nothing wrong with HTTP 1.1 if you know what you're doing. I mean, Cloudflare the other day just found a big bug in HTTP 2 and fixed it with the upload speeds. And I made a video about it, check that out. But I wanna first enable HTTP 2 because it's awesome. What do we do? How do we do that? It's very, very, very simple. We're gonna add in the ALPN, which is the application layer protocol negotiations, protocols and we're gonna add an array, right? We're gonna support H2 and we're gonna support HTTP 1.1, not just H2.1.1. And this should be under common TLS. Hopefully I nailed this thing, because I have no idea which things are under which with just looking at the spaces, guys, right? So yeah, kill it, run it again, refresh. And then if I look, refresh again. Ooh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Ooh, H2, babes, H2. H2, that's what we're talking about, man. H2, HTTP2. All right, so now we enable HTTP2. The final thing we're gonna do before we end this video is we're gonna disable TLS 1.1 and 1.0. And guys, this stinking parameters took me 1 hour of search to find it. There's no way. It doesn't exist in documentation. They tell you that the minimum, this thing, minimum protocol version, right? TLS V1.2. They tell you, oh, just set it this way. They did this, but they don't give you this stinking parameter. So you have no idea where the heck you put this thing. You put it here. And the name of the proto file is actually parameters. So I tried this and it says, no, there is nothing that's called parameters. What do you mean? Right? So I found someone actually using TLS params. I might be missing something, guys. I might be missing something. But I think Envoy, guys, you should just put a one config that has pretty much everything in it and saves the day. Just put it in there. It doesn't exist. Don't tell me it exists in the repo. It does not. You don't have a TLS example in your repo. So, sorry about that. You don't have that. I searched. Maybe you're going to add it after this video. But please do. Because, man, that was painful to search. I don't know how people are working with the product if you can't find examples. I guess probably big companies who moved to, like Dropbox moved to Envoy, they have like side-by-side working with the Envoy team directly. So, they don't have this problem. But measly people like us, like me, right? How do I know, right? I need the doc. I need the doc to be good. All right, so I disabled TLS 1.1. I made the minimum version technically 1.2. So now, if I refresh, obviously there's no difference here. But this guy is going to tell us, clear cache, do it again. How much do we get, guys? Yo! A, babes, that's right, we get an A. I think there is a way to get A+, but I don't know how. I think you have to enable what is the stapling thing, the certificate stapling to see whether the certificate has been stapled with the validity, so that's still valid or not. So once you have that stapling, certificate stapling, forgot what it's called. But yeah, guys, we're A, babes. We have an Envoy running server with an A rating, TLS 1.3, all that good stuff. How about we go back to the slides and finish up this video? Summary! So guys, I enjoyed making this video, I gotta say. But the only frustrating thing, guys, was just the YAML configuration, to be honest. I'm just very bad at YAML. So I blame myself, but even though, like, how do people do this stuff? How do you know that this config is under this? So you add a tab and then you have to scroll all the way and find, oh, this is under this, this is under this. It's unusable. It's very hard. I guess that's why people had like vertical screens or stuff like that, right? And just do it as JSON. JSON, it's a structured, right? Yeah, I know, JSON, you cannot do comments in, but whatever. I know. I think we need something better than YAML. I don't like it one bit. I don't like it one bit. And look, it's very easy to get errors. I mean, do you see what I've done? How many times did I post the video? I mean, I cut a lot of stuff, but I show you all the places where I have made mistakes, right? So yeah, current and desired architecture, guys. We talked about that. And we're going to talk about the Envoy architecture. It's a very interesting threading model, very interesting connection pooling model, very interesting proxy. I love it, right? I love it. I might actually start using it more and more.
The configuration needs a little bit more work, to be honest, to make it a little bit simpler to write, because I don't like to copy and paste config. I mean, yeah, maybe if I understand everything, I'll start copying and pasting, but I like to remember things. Like, okay, if it's simple, then I easy to remember, then I just sit down and I write it very quickly. And yeah, it's just easier to me. But yeah, that's just me. But yeah, I think we talked about the Envoy architecture. It's a good proxy. I love it compared to the others, right? I still didn't test the performance compared to the others, but sounds promising. The most important thing in a proxy, in my opinion, is to me to understand how it works, right? So if you end up wanting to debug it, or you want to test, or you want to kind of tune it, then you understand how to tune it, right? Otherwise, you'll be copying and pasting config, which is something I'm completely against. You have to understand every single piece of config you copy. I've been saying this for the past 3 years of my channel. Always, never copy and paste. Use collateral knowledge to your advantage, right? To kind of grow as an engineer. Otherwise, what are we doing, right? So we need to actually understand what it's doing so we can tune, make it better. That applies to any proxy, not just Envoy. Demo, we did a demo. You saw everything. We made TLS 1.3, 1.2. We tested, we disabled TLS 1.1. We essentially did layer 7 proxying. We did layer 4 proxying. We did concurrently. We made Envoy a single-threaded proxy, which is probably not a good idea, but I want to see how it performs as a single-threaded app, right? It's going to be interesting. But yeah, I liked it. I gotta say I like Envoy. I like it. I feel there's a connection between me and Envoy. I love it. Right. Still, I think my favorite is still an HA proxy, to be honest. I just have a different connection with HA proxy. I don't know why. Right. HA proxy and Envoy have something in common, which is the fact that they won't stick to be a proxy, which is something I love. I think traffic falls into the same category as well. They give you a low-level direct response, just HA proxy in version 2.2, I guess, just gave you this feature to give you a response, but it's not a full-fledged web server because people know that this is difficult to build. They are rather focus on building a proxy, not a web server, right? That's why Nginx, right? Nginx is going to do fine. I mean, it's doing fine for the longest time. It's a long project, but it struggles being a web server and a proxy because you have every day there are security bugs specific to being a web server. There are security stuff specific to proxy. And imagine you are supporting both. You have to fix those security. You have to enable features on both. You have to do all of that stuff on both these features. So focus on one thing, Unix strategy, one thing and one thing only. And that's just me, obviously, guys. I left the question back to you. What do you think about Envoy? Do you like this course? Do you like Envoy in general? Or what do you use as a proxy? Again, let me know in the comment section below. I'm going to see you in the next one. You guys stay awesome. Goodbye.